VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you so much for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, next year on this very day, we're going to be looking in the rearview mirror as to the results of the 2020 election scheduled for Tuesday, November 3rd. This time next year, it will be a week post-election, which we will likely know what is the makeup of the House and Senate, who won the presidency, and what is the landscape of our state houses. That is, unless there will be hanging chads with which we'll have to contend. But friends, we can't wait for all this to unfold with an attitude of que sera, sera, whatever will be, without giving thought to our personal responsibility in such a time as this. Rather than wring our hands, as our guest points out, this is a critical time to embark in prayer for our nation, especially committing to prayer regarding the 2020 election. He has launched what is called the 52 Tuesdays Prayer Initiative for America. Well, here to discuss this matter with us today, we welcome back Sam Rohrer. Sam is president of American Pastors Network and the Pennsylvania Pastors Network, host of Stand in the Gap. He's a former state representative in the Pennsylvania legislature and has sought to apply biblical principles in all areas of legislation. He was often referred to as the conscience of the House because of his consistent stance for moral truth in public policy. Sam, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Jim, it's a real pleasure to be back with you and the VCY audience across America.
As you look ahead to this 2020 election, what is at stake for this nation?
Jim, I think really what's at stake is, it depends how you look at it. One, it could really, in fact, be will religious freedom, will civil freedom as we have come to enjoy it in this nation, will that look like it does now? Will that remain? And then, but I'm going to go underneath of that even further, because I'm going to say, will God's blessing that has been on this nation, will it turn to final judgment upon this nation for what we have been doing? And it's my concern, Jim, that if we prayed for what we actually deserved, we wouldn't be sitting here right now. I am praying for the mercy of God upon this nation, but it's got to be led by God's people. So really, it's our freedom, it's our ability to raise our families as we have done it in the fear of God. It's the ability to live under a representative republic, a constitutional representative republic founded upon a Judeo-Christian biblical worldview that seems to be hanging by its thread. I think all of those things are right now hanging and are at risk.
So you believe, Sam, that the state of the church as we know it today, specifically religious freedom, it's going to be greatly impacted by this election?
I think absolutely it is. And I think, you know, reality, I mean, all of the listeners right now, I mean, just think back 4 years and think at that point in time how the previous administration had really weaponized the institution of government, the IRS against entities and the Justice Department. And we're seeing some of that working itself out right now. But government had become weaponized against those, the courts, and led by those in office, really against those who were believers, those who were truth seekers, constitutionalists. Those things were happening. And I think the people of America, I mean, we sensed, and in part that's why the turnout was so significant in 2016. But Jim, I think one of my real concerns is the fact is that we can look back now and say that, well, we can't really explain what happened, but God did raise up an individual called Donald Trump, and maybe we can refer to him as a King Cyrus of the modern age, perhaps. Nobody can really explain it. God did it. But I think in this window, he gave us a window of opportunity, and I think that window of opportunity has been for the church in America to wake up and say, all right, God gave us another chance. He gave mercy on us as a nation. So the question is, church in America, pulpits in America, what has happened? What have you done in this period of reprieve? And that is one of my greatest concerns, Jim, is I have not seen among among the pulpits of America broadly, by any means, or the church generally, any real sense that this was God's reprieve, and the church has not entered into this time, in this window, with an aggressive focus on obedience and biblical living and truth, and speaking biblical principles into the culture. It hasn't happened. I think that's probably my greatest concern about where we are right now.
The church has squandered this opportunity?
I think it absolutely has. And now, I work with people all over the country, so do you, and you listen, you take callers, you know, calls from listeners all across the country.
Mm-hmm.
You're a good barometer as well. I mean, I do see life, and I do see some very positive things, I would say, within the remnant, mostly within the remnant in the pews, perhaps, of America. There are spotty indications, I think, of some of God's people in the pulpits beginning to get a sense under them, but if that is happening, it is but a spark. Now, we want to take and blow on that. We want to pray the Holy Spirit blows His power upon that, but that I think is what is before us. We need to think as God's people, you know, how does that come about? How does revival come about? How does God bring, in return, blessing, to a nation walked away from Him? How do those things happen? It's not automatic. And we have to approach it as God would say we need to approach it.
Sam, it seems as we approach each election in you know, recent elections that we've had, we've heard people say, this is the most critical election in modern times. This is the most important election ever. How do you react to that statement as it relates to 2020?
You know, I've heard that too, and I think it always happens. I think in reality, Jim, every election opportunity that comes our way is at that moment in time the most important election in our history. Now, when I look back, there are times in this history of times gone by, be it the times of the Civil War or the times before certain national revivals. It was a pretty sad state in this country. The families were in disrepair, and there were a lot of major problems that that God brought a revival that tended to kind of reset the culture and to reset the pulpit and reinvigorate those who knew the truth. And that hasn't happened now for a long time. And so we haven't had one of those things. So to some extent, I would say this is an election that is more critical perhaps than that in some respect. But I would put this in and say, as we have moved down the road over a last generation, every election perhaps becomes a little bit more important, because every time we seem like we walk further and further away from the awareness of our dependency upon God, we are looking at God in a rearview mirror further in the past. Our population represents less and less who have a biblical worldview. Those kinds of things are now much different now than they were. You had people who were walking away, families were breaking up, there were kind of things, no question about it. But the institutions of authority and that God created really were fairly much intact. You didn't have government so totally given over to bribery and corruption, as an example. And you didn't have the courts of years ago actually taking and ruling immorality to be moral, as we've seen over these past years, since 1970 and so forth and beyond. We're into a different time. We've never had a population where 7 out of 10, according to the polls, say that they would embrace socialism.
Yeah.
I mean, these are not, from that perspective, mm-hmm. Jim, these are not the same days, and so perhaps on that basis, it is more critical.
Yeah, indeed. Sam Rohr is with us today from American Pastors Network, and Sam, I often hearken back in my mind to Joshua 24:15, the great declaration Joshua made, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And all the people were there, amen, you know, we stand with you, Joshua, in this. But it takes just a little bit of time that elapses after that, and we go to Judges chapter 2, and we find out that there's a generation that was raised up that knew not God. They didn't know what God had done for them, His wonderful works, who He was, and those types of things. And I fear that we're in that same situation, that we have a generation that is coming up that knows not God.
Jim, I think that it's not a matter of thinking perhaps that way, and I know you're being very polite. The fact of the matter, it is under any measurement. And when you go to the millennials, 2 to 3% and less for Generation Z coming up, that generation, when they do not have a biblical worldview, meaning they don't believe that God is, that God created, that there is such a thing as a sin and fall, and therefore a need of redemption, when only a handful, a few percent believe that, it isn't. We are a generation that does not know God. And it didn't take but a generation to get there. I mean, I grew up in a Christian home. The Lord saved me when I was 7. And as I grew up and read the scripture, and I'm looking, and I was always amazed of seeing how, as you cited, times of great power in the nation of Israel and God's demonstration of victory on the battlefield and promises of prosperity, and the nations of the world were coming and worshiping the God of heaven like they did during the days of Solomon and all that kind of thing. And then it says, and then, as you said, a generation arose, 40-year generation generally arose, and they didn't even know anything about the God who did all that. I said, how is it possible that it can happen so quickly? What happened, or perhaps more importantly, what didn't happen in the communication of what God did? And, of course, he made that very clear. And I think that in our country, we've gotten to where we are because we didn't do what God told the people back then to do, and that is, moms and dads, relate to your children and your grandchildren what God has done. Let them see in your lives the power of God. When that link is broken, then all of a sudden you have a generation arise, and they don't know the God of heaven. They say, who is he? And that's where we are in this country. You almost have to change how you share the gospel with the young generation. You can't just assume they understand that there's a God and there's right and wrong. Without a biblical worldview, you don't. I mean, we're a mission field right here in our own country in a large respect. It's amazing.
It really is. Sam Rohr with us today from American Pastors Network. Sam, you have begun an initiative through American Pastors Network. It's the 52 Tuesdays Prayer Initiative for America. How was this idea birthed? Tell us about it.
Well, Jim, I look ahead and I think all across America, we sense on both sides, those who fear God and those who don't fear God. Let's put it that way. There's both exist out there. I think that both of them feel and sense within our heart and our mind that something is coming to a climax. It's good and evil are fighting each other. We're seeing it demonstrated in the media every day. We're seeing it down in Washington. Well, I'm telling you, both cannot coexist. One will reign supreme. And I think as this fight and this tug of war, this spiritual battle is working itself out, I think there's a sense that we're in trouble, and in fact, we are, and it doesn't take much to prove that. Well, if we believe that as God's people, what do we do? Do we wait until there's an emergency? Do we wait until an hour before the election and say, oh, Lord, help us? Or do we think in terms of how God would say that we need to approach him, that we look at what God establishes as his basis for blessing on a nation, and we say we need to begin now, 52 weeks from now, the next election, it's a good time to begin tracking in that path.
We'll pick up with this after the break. Our guest today is Sam Rohr from American Pastors Network, 52 Tuesdays Prayer Initiative for America. Folks, you need to listen with both ears on today. We'll be back in just a minute.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what are comets made of?
Chris, comets are sometimes referred to as dirty snowballs. They're mainly ice, but with a lot of solid particles mixed in. As a comet goes around the sun, the solar heat and solar wind vaporize part of the comet, and we see the tail as those particles are stripped away. Now we find that sometimes not only is the tail stripped away, but sometimes the head is lopped off, speeding up the comet's disintegration. Obviously, comets can't last too long, thus they are a strong sign of a recently created universe. The Bible refers to these comets as wandering stars that don't follow the standard motion of the stars or the planets. They were created on day 4 of creation week, back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. Our guest today is Sam Rohr. He is president of American Pastors Network, and we're talking about 52 Tuesdays Prayer Initiative for America. Folks, the countdown is beginning. We are coming upon the 2020 election taking place November 3rd of 2020, and certainly talking about the need for prayer. We're also going to talk about how do we pray, what do we pray for, and related issues as well. As you mentioned, Sam, this countdown is beginning now for the 52 Tuesdays. As you said, people are sensing something is coming to a climax. We sense this civil war of values that is going on, and certainly our nation is at a turning point as to which way we're going to go in all of this. Do you really believe that prayer is the solution, the one and only solution to this, to the problems we face?
I think, Jim, it is in part, and I'm going to answer that very carefully. Some people may think that if all you do, if we would just pray, that anything can happen, to which I'd agree. Well, if we pray properly, then anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Does God want us to pray? He says, oh, pray without ceasing. He says, bring all of your requests to me. So Scripture is very, very clear about the power of prayer. But, Jim, I believe, as I've watched this over the years, I think that we've gotten away from the understanding of God's requirement for when he will answer prayer and when he perhaps will not even hear our prayers. And we don't talk enough about that. King David went before the Lord, and there was a comment that was made basically that what does God desire? He doesn't desire sacrifice doing things. He desires obedience. And that really brings us back to the idea of that what does God require of our lives, of the lives of the believer? The only one that he's promised to hear their prayer, other than the prayer of salvation from the unbeliever, the only one that God has promised to hear the prayer of is a true believer that's in proper fellowship with him. And I have thought that we don't talk about this often enough. We just think that if we all of a sudden whip out 2 Chronicles 7:14, which we'd all know, and say, if my people who are called my name to humble themselves, then that's an appropriate prayer. Mm-hmm. That is an appropriate prayer. But sometimes I think we pull that out like a rabbit's foot.
Yeah.
And say, oh, that's a magic foot. All of a sudden, if we just cite 2 Chronicles 7:14, that everything is going to change. But that's not what that verse says, nor I think it's what the Scripture says. And I go to Psalm 66. That's the first place where David says, if I have sin in my heart, if I regard iniquity in my heart, unconfessed sin, God won't even hear me.
Yeah.
He won't even hear me. And then we go to the New Testament, and Christ said that we have to have faith and faith believing. So do we really believe that when we go to God in prayer that he's actually has the power to deliver it, or we go through the motions because it makes us feel good? We go to the book of James, and James talks about we have not because we ask not because we ask amiss. In other words, we come to God with our own motivations. We want God to answer prayer so that we can get the credit, the old Pharisee of old on the corner who prayed so that everybody could see him. God didn't answer the Pharisee's prayer because he was asking amiss to consume it upon his own selfish lust. And God said, I'm not going to answer on your terms. I'm going to answer on my terms. I'm the giver. I'm the one who's able to give. And then Christ himself, I think of in the garden, when he, before going to the cross, the sacrifice for all of us, said to his Father, Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, thy will be done. Hmm. We have to pray in accordance to God's will, because there may be times where what we think we need or want is frankly not what God knows we need or want. So we end up after, no matter what we pray, at the end we should always end up with, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And I think that that preparation of our hearts, Jim, our the sense that we must come before God with a different attitude, and we have to say, what are your terms of answering prayer, God? Not what are my terms. God, what do you want? Not what do I want. God, what will bring glory to you? Not what will bring glory to me. We have to turn those things around, Jim, in our mind. And I believe that because we have not talked more in terms of what does God require of us, God hasn't even heard a lot of the prayers of the people in this country. So I think that's what some of the pulpits need to be clarifying. That's what I think those who are listening to this program who are saying, I'm a praying person. I love my country. I love my family. I love my freedom. And yeah, I do know the power of prayer. Collectively, we need to think in terms of what is the state of my heart? Am I regarding iniquity in my heart? Am I involved in sin of any type? Because if I am unconfessed, God's not hearing my prayer. And we need to be thinking in terms of that. And that's part of what our emphasis is here. God's given us a mark on the calendar. It's called an election. It's not a holy day. It's a calendar. It's an election day. It's a day of opportunity. But I think as we approach that day, Jim, every person who's listening will be forced to make a decision relative to one or many people as they go to vote. The election day does that. It forces people to get off of the fence, and it forces them to make a decision for this person or for that person or for this or for that. And I say, what a perfect time for God's people to be thinking in terms of, if I can be moved to make a decision about a person in a voting circumstance, should I not be thinking about my decision for God and what I am doing for him and how I am living for him? Kind of like you talked about with Joshua saying, all right, if I haven't made a determination, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, let the election drive us back as God's people to say, let me make sure that my first decision and my first choice relative to my relationship to God and my family and to obedience, let that be established first. Then I'm not so concerned about the election, but I am concerned about people's choices in alignment with God himself as we go to him in prayer under this basis. And so that's really kind of the heart and the sense of why we're trying to do what we're doing and why I'm really passionate about this, Jim.
And passionate indeed. And I say amen to what you've said here, Sam. I mean, so often we're just playing this game of Christianity. Oh, we go to church on Sunday and we put some money into the offering plate as it goes by and forget about what it means to be a Christian until we come back the following Sunday. And folks, how we live on the other days of the week certainly marks, you know, that name that we claim. Can people tell by looking at our lives that we belong to Jesus Christ? And so often we give abandonment to Christianity the rest of the week, and what Sam is doing here, he's calling us back to that first love, calling us back to what that means to be a Christian, how we approach God, recognize who God is, how sinful we are, and how we have to have a clean heart before him, and that's just not on Sundays. Sam, so you've organized this initiative here, 52 Tuesdays, so what are you asking people to do in particular?
What we're asking people to do is that urgency, I mean, from standpoint of understanding where we are as a nation, and I'm saying that's a good reason to go to God in prayer, but yes, we should pray every day. Yes, and we're saying pray every day for your families, ladies and gentlemen, for your children, for your grandchildren, that they come to know the Lord if they don't, that they walk with the Lord if they do. When you look in the mirror, yes, pray, Lord, help me today to be the kind of light and standard I ought to be for truth. But as a part of the 52 standard, we're saying we have every Tuesday that'll come around every week. Now, Sunday, we ought to be in the Lord's house. Mm-hmm. Every Sunday, we ought to be praying to him and leading, absolutely. But you know what? as you're saying, it needs to be more than just Sunday. It's got to be every day. But let every Tuesday being an election day reminder of that time of forced choice for who's going to govern us nationally, physically, in this nation, to also be driven to God in prayer for how this nation perceives and views and chooses who their God is going to be. If we do not as a nation recognize our need for God, we will not elect the right person in the fall. So saying use the Tuesdays and a countdown for the election in 2020 as we hear inundated every day, every week with election regarded things. Think God, think the need for the Lord, think power of prayer, and think our role. And we say join with us wherever you are, take a time on Tuesday and make it a time of focused prayer for our nation, for yourself, and how we approach God with holy hands.
I've come to appreciate Nehemiah, the cupbearer, and Sam, this, as you know, was a man who he was grieved over the condition of his land. Not only the physical walls broken down, but he was grieved over the spiritual condition of the people. And Nehemiah is one who is often known for those sentence prayers. In chapter 1, verse 4, we see how he wept and mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Chapter 2, verse 4, the king asked him a question we see written down, "So I prayed to the God of heaven." Multiple times throughout the Nehemiah, you see these quick prayers going up to God. He had that relationship, just that constant communication. That's the kind of commitment and burden that we need to learn from and to have for our own nation.
It absolutely is. It needs to be something that as a true believer in Jesus Christ, we need to awaken in the morning with, "Oh Lord, help me this day." We need to go throughout the day when we see things, we hear things, say, "Oh Lord, give me wisdom to understand how to interpret and how to respond these things that I am seeing." When we relate to our wives or our husbands, our children, "Oh Lord, give me wisdom as a mom or a dad or a grandma or a granddad to relate the power of God in my life to them." I mean, that's a 24-hour-a-day recognition, and that is really the kind of prayer and focus that God wants, and that's what he talks about in 2 Chronicles 7:13. If my people pray and humble themselves, not just one time, not just a moment in time, it's an attitude of prayer. It's a continual seeking. It's a humbling that forces us to our knees in recognition of who God is, and it's a repenting of our sins, and that's the key, that's the hard part. You've got to look in the mirror and say, "Lord, what have I harbored in my heart? What have I not been doing? What grieves you, Lord, in what I am saying or thinking or going or places I'm going to?" Whatever that may be, that is the part, because it's the sins of God's people that turn away the heart of God. So we've got to go there, and that is something that if we pray and we seek God with that mindset, he will bring to our mind those things if we may not know what they are, and he will bring forward those things. That's the kind of prayer that God will answer, and that's the kind of thing I think we need. I mean, the king of Nineveh fasted for 40 days, right? Yeah. I'm telling you, I think that we're far off and far worse than Nineveh. We need to be fasting and praying all along. That's the 52 weeks purposes for doing this.
Folks, we encourage you to get a piece of paper, pen or pencil. After the break, we'll be giving you a website where you can get more information on the group, American Pastors Network, and the 52 Tuesdays Prayer Initiative. So stay with us. We'll be back in a moment. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
VCY invites you to obtain an audio recording of the Gospel according to John as narrated by Brad Canterbury.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
John's Gospel presenting the words of Jesus, the way of salvation.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever...
You can share this as a gift or for listening over and over on your daily commute. VCY America is making available this narrated Gospel of John on two CDs for a donation of $12. Call during business hours, 1-800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829.
But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.
Tuesdays, Prayer Initiative for America. Sam Rohr is our guest today. He is president of American Pastors Network. And Sam, you've whet our appetites. You've increased our burden for this matter of prayer for our nation, our prayer for this 2020 election. Where can you direct our listeners where they can get even more information?
Well, Jim, they can go to our website at Stand in the Gap. That's what we talked about today. StandInTheGapRadio.com is where we announced it today on our radio program, or AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. We're calling on pastors to take a lead in their churches, and we're talking to people in the pews who are not necessarily pastors, but who have the ability to interface before God himself. So go to either one of those. And it can sign up to Stand with us in prayer. And whether you do that or not, you can just begin to be a part of that growing army of prayer warriors across this country who recognize that it is this building process of prayer. It starts with our own lives. It's not just an event in time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of awareness and dedication to God above with holy living. That's what God wants. That's what he sees. That's what we're trying to encourage.
AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and StandOnTheGapRadio.com. I think it'll get you to the same place there. Sam, what is your real burden and hope that pastors and churches in their response to this issue?
My response, my hope, Jim, is that the remnant, I'm going to use that word because God does, those who truly know who Jesus Christ is and have had a life change and are a part of God's family, a son or a daughter of God, that those people understand that we are here as his ambassadors. We have a job to do. That the way that God will hear or change perhaps his attitude towards this nation will depend upon those very people. It's not the others in Washington. It's not the unbelievers who act like unbelievers do. It's God's people who act obediently and say, we're going to serve you and we're going to make a choice, Lord, to follow you, not the gods of this world. That is what I am hoping for. When I look, Jim, at what Scripture says, I go to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, and I look at the church of Laodicea, and I say, boy, is that the church of America. It really is where people who say, we're God's people, and everything's fine, and we're not fine, and we've got money in our bank account, and we're good. We don't have any need for anything, and Christ says to them, you pitiful people. You don't even have enough understanding to know that you are blind, that you are destitute, that you are spiritually naked. You spend a little bit of that money you think you have and buy some ISAP from me so that you can see what's happening. That's my prayer, that God's people, those who say, but haven't we done all these things in your name, O Lord? Those who say they are Christians would actually begin to live like it and to walk in obedience before him, which is the only thing that's going to change and turn God's judgment upon this land into God's blessing. And at the end of the day, we say, God, your will be done, because there's a lot happening around this world. We know that God's prophecy is being fulfilled, but every one of us who are listening here know that we must be faithful until the Lord Jesus comes back, which may be sooner than we think. Amen, if he does. That's what he expects of us. Until he come, we are to be faithful. And what I'm describing is just simply being faithful until he come. And then the Lord can do whatever he wants to do with our lives.
Folks, I'd like to get your reaction to this today and perhaps your commitment in joining in on this 52 Tuesdays Prayer Initiative for America. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Has your heart been burdened today, even through this interview, to be in prayer for this nation and prayer for the 2020 election? Our number, 800-733-9829. Sam, I so often fear that we're putting our trust in political parties and political figures for the well-being of our nation, and we need to fully realize that's not where our hope lies, that's not where our focus lies. Our hope, our focus, our foundation rest upon God. I mean, I think, as mentioned to you before, the program that has been going through the book of Exodus here, and you have Moses who's up on the mountain and receiving the commandments from God, and then directions also for the tabernacle. Before he went up, the people said, all that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. And just a couple chapters later, when Moses delayed to come down, this is less than 40 days, that people gave it all up, and they called upon Aaron to make this God, to say, you know, fashion this God to say, this is what delivered us out of the land of Egypt. And so often we want to put our focus in on political figures and parties and something else that we can grasp onto, when we need to realize our hope, our confidence, our source of strength is not from these institutions. They rest upon God himself.
Jim, I couldn't have said that any better. And that is what I plead with people who are listening even right now. The election will tend to drive our attention to human saviors. No human person can save us. Not even this president who God is using to give us a reprieve right now. That's not our salvation. Only God is our salvation.
Amen.
And within that, those who go into office become a reflection of the hearts of the people. And if our hearts are not right, we are going to get the type of people that we frankly had in this nation, who tend to serve the god of money, of some earthly idol, but not God himself. The electoral process and the election process is a gift of God that he's given to us in this nation to be able to participate in the selection of our leaders. But if we have not selected God first and submitted ourselves to serving him first, we will be sidetracked by the allurements and the attention of these earthly saviors, and they will not bring to this country what only God can give. And that, so it's got to go in order, but we've got to reverse the order, Jim, because I think we've been out of whack, really probably for a long time.
Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's begin with Mark in Monroe, Wisconsin. Mark, you're on the air.
Yeah, I think the spiritual battle in the Christian church in America today is basically twofold. One is lack of discernment, and two is apathy, which I think reflects and falls into the lukewarm category that Sam already mentioned in Revelation. That's my comment.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate that. I remember, Sam, the verse from Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And whenever I see a verse that begins with the word woe, that's not, that tells me, hey, there's a warning here in this. And this is what a verse that is very characteristic of our society today.
Absolutely, you are correct. And the scripture gives a number of woes.
Mm-hmm.
And when God, God did come to a point with Israel after he had warned and he had warned and he had warned, and they walked away and they warned and they didn't respond. He gave them some woes, and he said, you know what? I'm looking actually in Jeremiah right now, where God, mm-hmm, and Jeremiah, who went to that nation, just like us here, had the word of, as a nation, had the word of God, have seen God's evident hand of blessing, have been participants in the communication of truth around the world. I mean, no one, like almost no nation Israel and the United States, there's been no other nations like this in the world. We've participated. And God went to them and he said, and he talked to them about their idolatry. He talked to them about their waywardness and the hardness of heart. And I'm looking at Jeremiah right now, and it came to a point where Jeremiah, he said to them, to God's people, he said, therefore, don't even pray for this people anymore. Don't, in verse 16 of chapter 7, don't lift up your cry or pray for them. Don't even seek intercession of me for them anymore, because I'm not going to hear you. Their time, effectively, is up. And that's the thing that we have to understand. Somewhere in the mercy of God that endures forever, when nations occurs, we look through history. There are points and times when nations reach the point where they have resisted the heart of God, the call of God so long that God says, finally, all right, that's it.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm not even going to hear them. That's what I pray we don't get to that point.
Steve is calling from Salina, Kansas. You're on the air, Steve.
Sam, I can hear the passion and compassion in your voice. Well, it's well thought out, but it really brings it out of me. And I can't add too much more to what you said, but as far as prayer and faith, we do that, but faith without action is dead. We have to speak out against communism and socialism. Mm-hmm. And it's well ingrained in our government. Look at the abortion. We don't even know what marriage is anymore, or our gender, or our sex, whether it be male or female.
Yeah.
I'll get off the phone here, but before I leave, I'm going to repeat something that somebody said. And remember this, that God still trumps every court and law in this land.
Amen to that. Sam, comment, though, on this aspect that he brought up. Faith without works is dead. And you alluded to this earlier because you said, do we pray only? There's more to it.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up. Absolutely. When it comes to salvation, works mean nothing, right? That's the part that we have to understand. We don't come to God with our works. But when the Lord saves us and we turn our life to him and we become a child of God, then works become an evidence that there is, in fact, real life. And when we come to pray, yes, in fact, we pray, but we pray in the continuum of moving forward in the delivery of truth, in the delivery of ourselves as light and salt in this world. We're here as ambassadors. We're here on a mission. We do pray for God to undertake and to give us that strength and our wisdom, but to just sit and pray when we could do more, that's not ever what God said. Pray, and then we walk and we work. Faith without works is dead. That goes to that point, and thanks for bringing that up.
Indeed, and again, let's go back to Nehemiah. He did exactly that. He prayed, but you know what? They also had a trowel in one hand and a weapon in the other as they went about the process. Linda is calling from Sardinia, Ohio. Linda, you're on the air.
Yes, this is one subject that I have really, like before the 2016 election, I tried to talk to my church because they're full of Democrats. And I told them what Franklin Graham said. Hey, church, this is how many of you are registered to vote. This is how many of you don't vote, which a lot of Christians don't even vote. Get out there and vote your biblical principles. Well, when I tried to tell them that, they said, well, I've always voted Democrat, or I'm a Democrat. And some of them said, okay, how can you support the Democrat Party when at the top of their platform is Planned Parenthood, murder of innocent babies, and same-sex marriage, sodomy, which are both an abomination to God. And anyway, a bunch of them just got mad at me, and I didn't get anywhere, and I'm still trying to talk to them, but I'm praying too, but I don't know. It's going to take a miracle because it's not just my church. There's a lot of churches that around in Brown County and Highland County that are that way, and they say they're Democrats. So,
Linda, we'll pick up on that response after the break. Thank you for the call. Sam Rohr is our guest. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Sadly, through things like the BDS movement, which is the Marxist, Islamic, anti-Semitic, Jew-hating campaign known as Boycott, Divestment, Sanction, they're trying to boycott Israel. Really what they're trying to do, folks, is to set up Jews all over the world to be persecuted and make it acceptable. But those guys out there pushing BDS and all this anti-Zionism, they like to say that Israel are the new Nazis. I know, it's offensive. That's what they're saying.
Israel and the Jews and the Zionists are the new Nazis. They also say Israel is filled with racists. They're a racist state. They're an apartheid state. Well, perhaps they don't know that in 1991, as well as in the 1980s, but in 1991 specifically, Israel raised $35 million in 2 days to buy over 14,000 Ethiopian Jews, fly in 36 aircraft, and rescue black Ethiopian Jews and bring them back to Israel for safekeeping. How about that for so-called racism?
Our topic today, 52 Tuesdays Prayer Initiative for America. You can get more information at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Sam Rohr is with us today as guest. He is president of American Pastors Network. And Simon, let me ask you about that call right before the break. And I want to approach it perhaps a little bit differently. And that is, I believe it's important for each of us to recognize our vote is actually a stewardship that we have before God. Your thoughts?
Absolutely, it is. You know, today on the program, when we are in the Standing in the Gap Today program that we introduced this, I read a quote from Samuel Adams. Can I read it here?
Yeah.
He said this. He said, quote, I guess his confounding father, Samuel Adams. He said, quote, let each citizen remember at the moment that he is offering, get this, offering his vote, that he's not making a present or a compliment to please some individual, or at least that's what he ought not to do, he said, but that what he is doing is executing one of the most solemn trusts in human society for which he is accountable to God.
Yes.
And to his country. And that, and a good, it kind of goes to the heart of it. Our vote in what we do is actually an offering, not to a person. Not giving a compliment to anybody. It's an offering to God. It's an evidence of works, we're talking about, a duty, a responsibility that we've been given that happens to be in this realm of civil authority. And how we offer that, how we lift up that vote, it ought to be, we used to refer to votes as being a sacred vote. I mean, we don't do it anymore, really, because we'd lost the concept of God. But really, that's what it is. And if we are saying, God, take this opportunity that I have to raise up the person of your choice, and I am going to the best of my ability choose to pursue and support that individual that has most God-fearing, most likely to support the principles of God's Word. If I do that as an individual, I have done what I can do as duty, as a responsibility, as an offering really to God. Then God can take and then He will actually bring to pass that which he wants, but we treat this privilege that we have so lightly, I think, that we don't understand the real depth of how important it is.
We have a caller from Kansas. Caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
What I want to ask, I believe in being reborn again Christian, mm-hmm. and that Jesus Christ died for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder right now, have we as a nation sinned so much and have forgot God that God might let the wrong people be president? And I'll just hang up.
Okay, thank you for that. And Sam, I know you kind of addressed this a bit earlier, that you're praying for God's mercy on this land in that regard, that you're praying that we've not gotten to that point. But I, again, hearken back to the people during the time of Jonah and Nineveh. This was a very, very wicked land. And Jonah went for, you know, in 40 days, Nineveh was going to be destroyed. But the people turned. They repented of their sin, and God spared Nineveh at that time.
He did, and we can't answer that because ultimately he judged Nineveh, but
yes.
He suspended his judgment.
Right.
I cannot answer that in the sovereign will of God. God alone has the right and reserves the right to change his will. But what we do know is that sin is a reproach to any people.
Yes.
What we do know that when a nation, having once known the power of God and claimed the name of God and had on their coins, "In God we trust," turned their back and despised the God of heaven and subvert the laws of God and use the systems of government and the courts of government to declare righteous that which is immoral and to declare evil that which is good, as we've seen it in matters of the Bible and Bible reading and the Ten Commandments and abortion and marriage. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, we've done it, and government has made it official. Well, in this nation, the people are the government.
Yes.
The people who are in office are there because of us, and that brings it down to all of us. All of us are subject to the judgment of God, and I think that God has been screaming loudly to this nation for a long time, and we've been tone deaf. Let's put spiritual deaf, God deaf. Mm-hmm. However you want to say it. We're not hearing what he's saying, and that's why I say it's only by the mercy of God that we have the ability and the freedom to be doing what we're doing right now. But at the same time, we know there are people all across this country that if they had their way, this Christian radio program right now wouldn't be on the air.
That's right.
And churches and pastors would be turning over every one of their sermons so that they would not preach against those things that the Bible preaches against or preach for the thing. I mean, we know that to be case, and I think that's the kind of thing I think people are sensing and saying, you know what, these things are very real. And what I'm saying, they are very real. They are very real. Wake up, people of God, and understand that it is our condition of our lives before him that God is most concerned about. He'll take care of everybody else, but let's look in the mirror at our own lives first. Go to him, clean hearts, clean hands, seek his face in prayer. And we say, let's begin now and let the election, as it comes up next year, drive us in that continual reminder that we've got to go to God in prayer first, and our lives have got to be right before him so he can even answer our prayers to begin with.
Shirley in Elkhorn, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. And I agree with Pastor Sam wholeheartedly with all that we've been talking about today. And I also would like to add that when we say our prayers on Tuesdays for the next 52 weeks, that we also add that we want to pray to the glory of God also.
Amen. Thank you, Shirley. I wish we had time for more callers. We're down to 30 seconds. Sam, let me have you just share how you'd like to close here today. What's on your heart?
Well, Jim, I would just say, for all of you are listening out there, if all of you are listening in the VCY audience today were to take this challenge to heart, and in your own lives, make yourself right before God, God will hear even this group as the remnant and could turn the heart of this nation.
Amen.
I pray that it's done.
Amen. Sam Rohr, our guest today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Sam, thank you so much for spearheading this and just for sharing your burden and passion with our listeners here today.
Thank you, Jim. God bless you.
And folks, take this matter to your heart as well. You've got the information. Say, Lord, what would you have me do? Help me to be a person of prayer for this nation, for this upcoming election, for the state of our church today. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.